This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. 40 years of playing PlayStation and like 8 years in the games media combined with the way to throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you're a fan of this show and you want to watch us record this live, any tier Patreon supporter gets an exclusive link to watch us record this show live. And of course, if you want to show the love pop culturist on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop and buy shirts like this one, like that one. And I believe there's a sale on this week. So if you want to get 30% off our merch, go ahead.
I feel like you should know that.
I got an email saying that this date to this day. I'm pretty sure it's the 14th, so it'll be the day this goes up. There's a sale, and
but
on
this
top
goes
of
up
that,
on the 13th.
13th. So it's the next couple of days. I did get an email today saying they are now supporting fatter sizes, which
Ooh,
is good because like
fantastic.
I wanted one of the big thick hoodies. Mm. Look, yeah, he only goes up to like XL. I'm like, who the fuck buys an XL hoodie? And like, and then I got an email to have you up to like 4X. I'm like, I'm gonna swim in that fucking jacket and I can't wait.
Nice, man.
How are you, sir?
It's good that you can get our own merch to suit your own body,
yeah,
body type.
And it'll also help Dylan as well, because Dylan's a big dude, but he's also very tall, so he's quite long and round. And the big sizes for the lengths.
Makes sense.
So you're not feeling too crash hot, you say?
No, I'm still not feeling too good, unfortunately. I finally succumbed and went to the doctors on Thursday. I'd been a defeat. You know how it is as a man.
Mm.
Yeah, just chug through it. It'll get better eventually. Kind of hit Thursday and I thought I probably should. It's been like a week now of fevers and headaches. I should probably go.
Yeah.
I got a blood test and a PP test. Wait for the results. And I was like,
doctor's like, that's good piss.
That's good pee. But I was all right last night, you know, for the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm finally getting over it. And then I woke up this morning like, nope, there it is. But that's okay. We'll soldier on.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. I'm pretty sure I've been battling this rotating roster of sickness. Mm. Like, you know, having a child does that with daycare and whatnot. But like, I feel myself just getting progressively garbage. Like, you know, the other day I was at work and I pretty much just had to. We were driving to a place. I'm like, can we stop for a minute? And then spew. And, you know, they just got this just gunk out of my face. I'm like, that was attractive.
I don't. I never get like that.
Yeah,
like,
I get
all like mucusy in the face. I've never had that before.
Well, for like, I've got busted sinuses to begin with. You know how I don't do it so much these days, but remember how in all the old videos used to cough and stuff?
Yeah.
That was because I'd have my sinus problem and heads up, about to get gross. My immune response goes fucking bonkers and starts releasing mucus and shit, which then, yep, decides to go down into my lung, like backwards, you know, in my throat and stuff.
And your throat's like,
Yeah, and it keeps trying to cough it up.
Mm. I didn't notice that actually. The coughing just gradually went away.
Because now I have medication that makes it better.
How much medication do you have?
On a daily basis, not too much. I have these steroid nasal spray things that help fix the immune response. Mm. I have Telfast to ensure that it doesn't fucking go nuts.
Yeah.
And then I have these lactose pills to make me die less in the bite.
When I was a little bit worse for wear earlier in the week, Mum came over and gave me a Tramadol. And I
saw you that day.
I don't take any of this stuff, like ever, because I don't go to the doctors to get prescriptions for it. Man, it fucked me around pretty hard. Slept like a baby, but the next day I felt high as a kite, which was really good. Except when I was driving, I was like, probably should.
But yeah, no, yeah, we caught up in town, and you're like eyes just like me, like you're right there,
pinging.
Like, I'm having a great time.
Then I got home and it wore off, and I was having a bad time again. That's from like I went to the doctors. Maybe he'd give me some Tramadol.
I was like, "How are you feeling? I feel fine. Come Tramadol." He's like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" He's like, "Hang on, can you piss in a jar?" Yeah, you're getting Tramadol. It's a good deal.
Close the door and you.
the blood test as well. So you go, just a little drop, just a drop.
That's enough of that.
That's gross. So you've been playing
Dead Cells. One of the best games I've played this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like by a fucking mile. I was very hesitant to pick it up at the price point, $30. I was like, I feel funny with indie games. Like if it's over $20, I'm like, when that's that in between price point of like 30 to 50, I'm like, oh, I don't know. If it's under 20, sure. If it's over 60, it's probably AAA. I'm sure. I know I want this. But that in-between price point, I'm normally, oh, I don't know, maybe, yeah. But I've already put in, I've got it day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon I've put in about 15 hours because I've been home unwell. 15 hours. I can't put it down. My PlayStation has been on.
I noticed because I was looking
for 3 days.
Because I had that boot up the PlayStation earlier, and it just says, you know, Josh Saunders,
Dead Cells, and it would have been saying that for the last 3 days.
Yeah, and I'm like, hang on, didn't he say he was on his way? And the door come in like. Yeah.
But the reason being the way the game is structured is like, you don't start at levels or that. You do a run, which is like, how far can I get in this run? And you go through the areas you've been through before, which change up. They're like a little bit procedurally generated, but also.
But apparently, there's key points.
There's key points that are always there. They might not be in the same location, but that particular room or area will be somewhere in the map. But it changes up enough that it's not. You can't just kind of breeze through it because everything's enemies of spot positions and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you see how far you can get, and you know you pick up weapons and skills along the way. On the way, in between each level, the cells you collect through each level you use on permanent upgrades and unlocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the next level, try to get all the cells you can, get to the end of that level, put your cells in, and then eventually get to a point where I'm not strong enough to kind of do this. You die, you go back to the start. But at the start, you've progressed towards these other unlocks, makes it a bit easier to push that little bit further, a little bit further. But the reason my PlayStation has been turned off is because it'll get to like 11 o'clock and I'm having a good run. I'm like, I like my setup. I'm, you know, decently far in. I don't want to turn it off and have to go back to the start. So PlayStation stays on all night till I can play the next day. And that's just how it's been going. I'm having the best run I've had so far at the moment, actually.
Very
it's
cool.
On now. I've got just these. I've got a sweet setup.
The internet has been saying horrible things about this game.
Hey, Dave.
Especially a particular reviewer. What's up, David Chataway? So as I said, those that are patrons can watch this live. It's a Metroidvania in the sense that there's skills and there's the scaling and backtracking, all that sort of stuff. But it's also got it's got that roguelike element where it's the whole idea of dying and relearning and then coming back through.
It's hard to put it into like a category. It's like a 2D action platformer Metroidvania roguelike.
Mm.
But all these
more
things,
than buzzwords.
All these kind of things kind of just come together just to make it's a fun. It's a fun game.
And it looks great.
And it looks great. Some really, while it's not like the backgrounds and all that aren't quote unquote beautiful, they have a very specific like thematic style, which because they keep to that style, it all just kind of, it goes together really well. And in terms of like backtracking, when you get to like a certain point, you'll kill like a boss and get an ability like wall jumping or the ability to use a teleport or to grow a vine. So when you die, you go back. But as you're going through the levels again, you've got this ability to get to parts where you couldn't get to before, which might lead to another branch off to another map, which then branches off to something else as well. So I showed on our Facebook chat last night, I actually drew a map of my progress. Because the only map, you don't get a map. You get a map of the level you're in as you discover it, as roguelikes are, I suppose. But like each map can lead to one or two different stages, but you need different abilities to get to those stages. So I've got my own branching map with all my little notes and all that kind of stuff. That's when you know you're kind of in.
So
when you get a piece of paper and start sketching things out, that's when you know like this game has
it's like it. I did with The Witness.
Yeah, to solve all your puzzles and stuff like that. It's just fun. Like I don't get frustrated with, you know, like with Souls like game, because it's similar as a trope as it is in concept to Dark Souls, where you know you collect your souls or your cells and power yourself up and then try to. I always got very frustrated with those games, but I don't find that happening with this either. the gameplay is just so smooth, and it's like you can roll, gives you that invincibility window. You can shield with, and you can, if you do it at the right time, you parry their attack, which stuns them. And it just got like, when I got to the first boss, I fucking steamrolled, like absolutely annihilated. But now when I get to him in the run, he's dead in about 30 seconds because I've just learnt. You know, I know his patterns, but I know that I'm more comfortable with the game. So you can very much feel yourself getting better as the game goes.
That's gonna be one of my questions because with Rogue Legacy as an example, like I've put a bit of time into that, but I never really felt like I was progressing.
I didn't like Rogue Legacy. I gave it a lot of I gave it about 10 goes.
Yeah.
To try to like see what is here that everyone loves, and for me there was nothing. Even though you did get like you could upgrade the towers or something to get you like you get a little more health and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then there are like, there's ways you could lock that level. Say if you really enjoyed that run, and you can lock that.
Yeah.
That castle.
But I just feel like I'm always working towards something, and while you're not using the cells to power up your character, you're kind of giving yourself basically like when you get to the level, you can use your cells to unlock. You can either make it so your health potion can be used twice or three times, or you find blueprints throughout your map, you get to the end of the level and you can unlock this new sword. And that doesn't give you the new sword, it means it has a chance to drop throughout the level. So the more items you unlock with your cells, the more you're going to see them out in the world and in the shop. Like each level has a shop, the shop merchant might sell them as well. You start off with like a rusty sword, a shitty shield and a shitty bow, but you can use cells where the sword will be one at random of all the swords you've unlocked. So instead of starting with the rusty sword, you start with whatever sword, you know, a random one of the ones you've unlocked. So it you're always doing something. And the cool thing is at the very start of the first level, before you start your run, there's all these files above your head hanging from the roof, and as you unlock things, they fill up the files. So every time you finish, you go back to the start, you might have filled up one more file. So you can see your progress as you unlock all the skills and all the weapons and all the whatever else. You can visibly see your progress at the start. You can be like, because you start off with nothing up there, and now I've got maybe 15 things unlocked out of the 100 that are there. So you can always, you're always doing something. Like it never feels pointless, which is the big point, I think.
Is there a story to this?
Yes. Presented in the way that kind of the Souls games do, where it's not exposition, you're not having long chats with NPCs. It's what you find throughout the level, you kind of piece it together yourself. So what I've pieced together so far, you start off in a prison. There was some kind of disease, possibly spread by rats, causing people to mutate. But there are a lot of innocents in the prison as well for some reason. Okay. And it kind of, what you piece together of it. The but it also has a very dry sense of humor as well. It's not a serious game. It's not like Guacamelee silly, but the main, your protagonist just has a lot of witty quips and all that kind of stuff. Like I got into a prison, old prison cell, and read the prisoner's journal. And he just said something like, "Oh, it's a book detailing the prisoner's experiences. That's lore on a shoestring." You know, it's all just little quips, you know, not quite breaking.
It's self-referential.
Yeah, self-referential, not breaking the fourth wall or anything like that. But yeah, it's aware of what it is, and yeah.
Excellent.
It's in the running for Game of the Year at the
moment.
It might not be Game of the Year, but it's going to be in, like, that discussion. It's so fucking good.
It'll certainly be in your discussion, he's saying.
Yeah. I hope yours too, when you play it later.
What was it? I picked it up probably about 5 minutes before we started recording.
I hope I'm not talking it up too much.
No. Is it like...
But even, like, I watched, like, Jim Sterling did a review on it. And when he is literally gushing about a game...
Something's good.
You know something's good. Because he doesn't do that. Like, very rarely does he gush. And that's kind of what pushed me. I'm like, maybe there's something here, and that's kind of what pushed me to pick it up. And I'm really glad I did.
Well, yeah, because I saw the trailer for it, and that caught my interest. Because the trailer's in this nice little cartoon, and just showing the idea of like this character falls in, here's your dagger, works out, stomped, comes back, gives me a bigger sword, gets a big sword, goes, gets stomped, like, all right, give me a medium sword, and then you know, and it's like the idea of progressing further and taking things on.
And
it's really
also
cool.
And all the abilities you get, you can kind of have them work together. Mm-hmm. So for example, you can get like a little turret that shoots blades out, which causes bleeding, and then you might get a grenade with the random thing does extra damage to bleeding targets. So you can be like, oh well, I can kind of pair those together. And you know, all the there's a lot of, not strategy, but a lot of your weapons and abilities kind of play with each other, yeah, if you know what I mean. And that's important as you get further on to kind of not just get the strongest sword and the grenades with the most damage, but how do these interact together to kind of let me get that bit further.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, because like in the same vein, I've never really jumped in that Metroidvania train.
No, me either.
They've never really been a genre that's caught my interest. However, I was someone... because I know Guacamelee 2 is coming out this month.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure I got that free on PS Plus at some point. And I did. Mm. So I dived into Guacamelee this week and I think I'm about halfway through the campaign. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm digging the hell out of it.
Yeah. I might have to give it another go because I think I played it when it came out and I was like, it's okay. But now that Dead Cells has kind of got me into this kind of genre, I might explore it a bit more.
Because what I'm really enjoying, so unlike Dead Cells, this is more of the Metroidvania. This isn't the more of run, you know, going through levels, going through spaces, gaining new skills, coming back, doing them again, and unlocking new paths. And like there is an overarching story, of course. It's beautifully silly, but like what I'm enjoying is the level. What's the word I'm looking for? The level. How you get across the level. I can't think of the right word, but traversing, how you traverse the level. So like, you know, originally like you could just jump off a wall and sort of thing. It's very, very little stuff, but like once you start unlocking more, you're just like, like you're not even thinking about it. It's all coming together. Mm. You're punching dudes and you're jumping and it's smooth.
Mm.
So I'm at a point now where I have pretty much all of the unlocks except for like two, I think. So I'm just like steamrolling, coming through, having fun, punching, kicking, but doing rad combos, throwing, you know, suplexing all these skeletons as I'm running through. Yeah.
Luchador style.
Like it's really fun. The gameplay on it is really tight. Yeah. Now I'm hoping that, you know, I think Dead Cells might be in the next level again. I'm hoping this unlocks a new love for me, a new little genre that I get a kick out of.
Yeah, and you know, there's also Chasm we can check out at the moment.
Yep.
Drop this week is Death's Gambit, which is another similar kind of game. So we're kind of spoiled for choice with that genre at the moment.
Mm.
So I'm excited with Dead Cells. That's kind of like, I'm kind of digging this style of game. Just something different that I haven't really got into before. And I've got a lot of options once I'm done with Dead Cells, so it's good.
Yeah, and it makes you want to think about going back and trying like small Castlevania and stuff.
Mm.
You know,
what would it take to like Symphony of the Night and stuff? Remaster Symphony of the Night? Just give us a current port of it.
It would require Konami to give a shit.
Yeah, but it doesn't. They don't need to do anything.
Mm.
Like something I was listening to on another PlayStation podcast last week when that question came up. It's like, don't do anything to it. You don't have to. Like the game is perfect as it is. Don't upgrade the textures and all that. Just give us a fucking game to play because it's that good. Speaking of, Castlevania characters will be in Smash.
Yeah, so not entirely relevant to the PlayStation show, but like I have stayed up three nights this week for dumb game announcements.
Yeah.
So as you said, so Smash Brothers, there was a talk of Castlevania with like what's his name, Simon Belmont as a playable character in the new Smash Brothers. And then the night after, I stayed up until 1 to watch the Red Dead 2 gameplay trailer.
I haven't watched it
yet. That game looks good. Game looks real. Like what looks great about that is like the landscapes. Like the game itself looks really good, but then when you start getting out and about and you see like the environment is what looks fantastic in this one. And I'm really keen. Like this, the storyline, I'm probably going to enjoy it, but like from where we're looking at right now, gameplay looks schmick. It, you know, it actually made me go on pre-order.
Part of the problem.
And then last night I was up to about 2 to watch the QuakeCon keynote, which they talked a bunch about Bethesda products, like Fallout 76, and Quake Champions, which is now free to play. Period. Mm. New Elder Scrolls Online expansion, which I have put back on the PlayStation because I was talking to a guy I work with, and Paris. He was like, "We need an MMO." I'm like, well, Elder Scrolls is probably the easiest one because, one, it's on console, and two, it's Elder Scrolls. Like, it's got to be fun, right? So I'm going to I'm going to go back in and give that a red hot go, and I might have some more to report about next week. Mm. And then the big thing they showed about 15 minutes on and off of Doom Eternal gameplay.
I did watch some of that gameplay.
Brutal.
Yeah, but I never finished Doom as it is. Yeah. It just didn't. It was fun, but it wasn't enough for me to kind of.
Yeah.
You know, push.
It just because that was the thing. Like, even though I was watching the gameplay, I'm like, this looks gnarly. Mm. And then I got to a point, I'm like, I know what this is. You can probably stop showing me gameplay now. Like, yeah. I know what this is. But yeah, so speaking of, I know what this is and still enjoyed it. I also played Overcooked this week too. So I did that stream on Wednesday. We were joined by our good friend of the show, Buddy Watson from Dash Culture. He came in and we sort of teamed up and got through a big hunk of the worlds.
Yep.
Does
the game scale in difficulty with the amount of players you've got?
I think time's affected.
Okay.
So the
obviously having four people is not easy. You got someone at the sink, someone doing the meat, someone doing the veg, someone running the food. Yeah. Whereas if you got two, it's obviously a bit more difficult.
I think the total score per level is increased.
Okay.
And I think the time is also kind of fucked with. So there's a couple of different sort of system changes, but mechanical changes. One thing you can do now is you can throw food.
Yeah.
So say you and I are across the room, I go, hoot, I throw it, you can catch it and chuck it in the...
Okay.
Chuck it in the...
What if it hits the floor or something?
That's fine.
Okay, don't wash it.
Apparently the devs did look at employing a 5-second rule.
Oh, yeah?
But apparently they got too crazy. So yeah, so that the straight off the bat, the game is harder.
Yeah.
Under the impression you've played Overcooked 1, you understand what's going on, you know the basics, you're ready to rock and roll. So because recipes now are more complicated.
Yep.
In terms of previously, you remember the first level of Overcooked 1?
Meat and lettuce.
Make soup. Three onions, cut them up, put them in a pot.
Yeah.
That's it. So now it's like, all right, you're going to make fish and chips, but you need to cut that fish, powder that fish, deep fry it, and then get the chips, deep fry the chips, put them together. Like,
that game is not for me.
It's a change in steps.
It's not for me.
It's fun. Because the game allows that they understand that it's more steps, so it's not as demanding as the previous one initially. Mm. So it understands that you're going to need to do more steps to get it out there. But once you get that well-oiled machine going, it's fine. You have one person just fucking throwing steak across the gap, you know, because we played one where there was like in order to get through different parts of the stage, there was like teleporters and stuff. We just found there was a gap, so I just kept throwing steak across the gap. And Buddy just get trained doing what he needed. Like, it's a ton of fun. Like, if you loved Overcooked 1, you're gonna enjoy the rest. Like, you're gonna enjoy Overcooked 2.
Yeah.
It's schmick. It's so schmick.
Cool.
But anyways, that's what we've been playing. Man, long one this week.
Yeah.
You were really... It's so good to be playing games again, though.
Yeah, I know.
Like, we had all those weeks of not much to play. Like, it feels really good to be able to...
I also played WoW and Fortnite, but... There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Well, WoW, the new expansion in like a couple of days, so.
Yeah. Tuesday.
Yeah. So a couple of days from recording. But yeah, no, it feels really good to get back into the jumping on stuff. The new stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of new stuff. News stuff.
Hey, hey.
This is the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you all the PlayStation news that you need to know about.
Number one, God of War's New Game Plus mode is finally coming out later this August and it'll add a wealth of new features. Per PlayStation blog, New Game Plus will be available on August 20 as a free patch update. However, in order to access the mode, you'll need to complete the story already on any difficulty.
Makes sense.
With New Game Plus, which can be played on any difficulty, you'll be able to carry over all of your progress, including abilities, armors, talismans, enchantments, and resources. Players can look forward to battling higher-level enemies with... some even having unspecified new tricks. There'll also be a new rarity level of equipment to craft and upgrade, alongside the new scap slag resource to collect and use to further upgrade your gear. And this is something from pretty much day one, Reddit was like, I need New Game Plus. And on that subreddit, it's been nonstop.
Mm.
Like, where's New Game Plus? We need New Game Plus. Because I want to keep playing it, but I don't have a purpose.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to, like, replay a game that you love a couple years later, like I've done with The Last of Us, but when you finish a game and you want more, you don't really want to just start the exact same thing all over again. So a New Game Plus has been long requested, pretty much since release. So it's good to see them go, cool, alright, you guys really, really want it, because they didn't want to do it initially. Corey Barlog said in one of his interviews, I'm not too keen on it, really, but the demand was enough, they went, cool, alright. We want you to keep playing our game.
And with the success of the game as well, it's kind of like, well, we can't not. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's that weird sort of line. It's like, it's doing so well. It's doing so gangbusters. Yeah. We
it's gonna be
might as well support it.
It's going to be years before we get a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't announced that they're doing any kind of DLC or expansions for it. So they obviously want people to have a reason to continue playing in the meantime.
Exactly.
So good move to them. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get back into it. If this was a month ago, sure, I'll give it another go because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But now we're getting back into the swing of things. I don't think I will jump back into it. But it's there for people.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to jump back into it as well. Mostly because...
We both got the plat.
We both got plats. I'm
satisfied.
I'm satisfied. I've had my fill. It was a beautiful experience. And I don't need to cry that many tears again. Like, I can't physically.
Yeah.
My body won't let me. And now we've got a bunch of new games coming up. And as we approach September, we have a bunch of new games coming there as well.
Mm.
I think, like, right now, my plan for the rest of this month is, like... probably finish Guacamelee because I'm not that far off.
Mm.
Give Dead Cells a red hot go. Maybe even jump into Rise of the Tomb Raider again with Shadow of the Tomb Raider coming next month.
Mm-hmm. I got Dead Cells. I got the WoW expansion. There's Death's Gambit coming out next week. So I'm pretty much set until September, and then September's when it all goes gangbusters.
Anyway. Yeah, and then it's fucking chaos to the end of the year. So I might as well do some of the little backtracky things that I want to do now before it gets too crazy.
Number two, it's been more than 6 years since Diablo 3 first released and more than a year since the last DLC arrived, but the franchise isn't lying dormant. Blizzard announced that it has multiple new Diablo projects in the works and fans might get a glimpse of them soon. Quote, the forges here at Blizzard are burning hot and we have multiple Diablo projects in the works, Diablo associate community manager Brandy Camel said in a video. Some of them are going to take longer than others, but we may have some things to show you later this year. That at least one new Diablo project was in the works was essentially confirmed in June when Blizzard posted a job listing for a dungeon artist to work on an unannounced Diablo project. It's not known if that project is Diablo 4 or something else, however. Now, one of them is going to be...
I pulled out a copy.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to call me the other night. To
oh, yeah, we're doing 7. I totally forgot.
Yeah, we can do it later today. One of them I can all but guarantee is going to be a Diablo 2 Lords of Destruction remaster.
There has been a lot of talk about that remaster.
Well, they have hired for remasters in the past. They've just done StarCraft 1 and Brood War. They've brought that back up to not quite modern standards, but made them playable in the modern age. And Diablo 2 has been asked for. Diablo 2 is one of the... It's one of those games you know.
Yeah.
It's been around for 15... How old am I? It's been nearly 20 years, I think. Battle.net is still active on Diablo 2, like multiplayer, and that's fucking insane. And a lot of people have been begging for it.
I distinctly remember there being talk about a remaster. Like, have they announced or they confirmed it?
I think that was speculation. When they first announced that they were going to do StarCraft remaster, a lot of people were like, well, maybe they're going to do it. And to me, this pretty much all but confirms it. I'm going to say there's Diablo 2 remaster in the works. There's Diablo 4 in the works, obviously. And honestly, probably some of the other stuff is just crossover stuff with all their other franchises. Because Blizzard love to do Easter eggs in their franchise. Because they got Diablo, StarCraft, Warcraft, Hearthstone, and Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And they all cross over in one way or another. Whether it's like in Warcraft, you get a pet from a Diablo game. Or in Diablo, you get an item named after a Warcraft character. So I'm sure there's going to... And Heroes of the Storm too.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be just a lot of crossover content. But yeah, Diablo 2 Remaster and Diablo 4, I can... pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah, it's not. This is said. It is funny that, you know, because I've jumped into the Diablo interest this week. Is once again, it looked like to be a good game for work.
Yeah, yeah. To play by yourself, it's a good game. Once you get through the story, it's a good. It was my podcast game where I just throw on and just mindlessly accomplish something. But if you're looking for, you know, like a one and done kind of game, that's not really it. It is. It's not a game.
We want an ongoing game.
It's not a game as a service either, but it is something. There's always something to work towards. You get the best gear you think you can get, but then there's another level of it. You can get better rolls on your gear. So there's always something to do. But Diablo 3 had a very, very bad start.
Yeah, which have you jumped into the Blood, Sweat and Pixels book yet?
Not yet. But yeah, they had a very, very, very bad start. But they brought it back. They brought it around. It's still very popular today. I got the platinum.
I'm super keen. Oh, excuse me.
Good platinum.
I'm super keen to jump in there and give it. Like, my wife is...
She played the shit out of it.
So before my son was born, she smashed his face in. And I think once just she got on maternity leave. And then obviously it was born and she couldn't play anymore. But like, she's a big fan of Diablo. So that remaster would be right up her alley. Like, she'll pee her pants at that.
It's a very different game, Diablo 2 to 3.
Yeah, that's the 2.5D. 2.5D. Yeah.
You get like stiff. When you level up, you get like character attribute points to put into strength or intellect. You can a lot more depth in character customization.
It reminds me of the older Fallout games, like the original Fallout games.
Yeah, I can.
In terms
see
of
that.
Aesthetics, at least, because I've not played Diablo 2 at all ever.
Diablo 2 was very very gothic and a very oppressive atmosphere. Like, it kind of put the It really did, well, maybe because I was maybe 12 at the time, but it really put the fear in you playing that game. Like, you don't know what's around the corner. It's very dark. It's very creepy. It's very ambient. Whereas Diablo 3 was just not. Still had very, like, gothic themes, but it was presented in a bit more of a colourful way. But I'll play the shit. If they do that, I'll play the fucking shit out of it. Especially if they bring it to console as well.
Which they no doubt will.
I do like that Blizzard have branched into the console market now, because it means more cool stuff. Sony's not going to show you the statue that comes with the $149.99 collector's edition of Spider-Man, because it's a spoiler, apparently. Insomniac Games community director James Stevenson explained on Reset Era that the Gentle Giant manufactured statue will be, quote, boxed in a way that says when you can open it to save yourself. Essentially, this means that if you've ordered the pricey package, you'll be advised not to fully open it until you've played a portion of the game. Exactly how far developers expect you to go before you can ogle your expensive new ornament is up in the air, but no one will get to see it until launch day either way. It's kind of cool.
But it's also not new. It's also not new.
Isn't it?
Like, not in that sense. So, the entire statue being a bit of a hush is huge. However... if I remember right, the Arkham Origins Collector's Edition, which had the Joker standing on a table with a bunch of TVs behind him.
You have that,
it's
don't you?
In the other
somewhere?
Room. It's in one of my cupboards. Yeah. The head was replaceable. So it comes with the Joker head, but you can swap it out for the black mask. Because the idea is, in the game, the main villain is Black Mask.
Not the Joker.
And then you find out the twist that it's the Joker.
Yeah, okay.
So the real Black Mask is held hostage somewhere, and the Joker is being Black Mask. At the time, that twist was fucking dumb, because I really wanted to be like, have a game without the Joker.
Yeah.
But as a statue, like, when you open up the back of it, it come with, like, you know, Killer Croc's tooth and all these little accessories, and it's like, do not open this bag until you finish the game.
It makes sense.
So, like, it's there in the same presence, but it's not in the same vein of literally do not open this entire statue.
If you were going to get this collector's edition, which I assume you're not.
No. I kind
of... Would you stop yourself from opening it, though, if you had it?
No, because we probably would have done an unboxing video.
True.
But, like...
With, like, 15 spoiler tags.
Yeah. So, like, I'm curious on Spider-Man. Like, I have reached out to see whether we could hook up a copy. But... I don't think I'm that stoked on it that I would spend the $149, whatever the hell dollar it is.
I'm keen for the game,
but
it takes a lot for me to want to get a collector's these days, and I don't think I've gotten one since
God of War was the last one I got.
Uncharted, Uncharted 4 for me. We both got it.
Oh.
Yeah, that one. That's the last collector's I got. It'll take a bit.
Yeah, I think I think there was the only one I got after Uncharted was God of War. Like, there's been nothing in between.
Whereas I'd get 4 a year before that.
Yeah, I see a big chunk of them, because I did like them, but now as I'm getting older, like, I don't have any fucking
Do you think
room.
the whole Arkham thing, like, turned you off them a little bit?
Oh, the Arkham
car? You
were
meant to get the
car
or something, and you didn't get it?
No.
And then you couldn't get the other collectors, but I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was balls.
That was good times.
That was super balls. but no, it comes... I do feel that the quality of them has dropped drastically over time.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the biggest reasons that I don't jump into them on a regular basis.
I think the best one I got was from the first EB Expo we went to. I got the Mortal Kombat one.
Yeah.
For $80 with the game and the probably 12-inch scorpion statue. Yeah. It is such a high-quality statue. It still blows my mind when I look at it today. I'm like, that was basically free. I paid for the game, because they cut the prices so much. I paid for the game with a steel case, steel book cover. But the statue is of such a high quality, it just blows me away.
Like, I still really wish I bought the Horizon Collector's Edition. But then I've also seen that statue with, like, bung eyes and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, meh.
It's like some of the Tataku figures. Like,
yeah, some are shoddy.
A 10-year-old paint job. Like, they're not... You can put two Kratoses next to each other, they look completely different.
Yeah.
Because they were misaligned in the painting press or some shit. I don't know. But yeah, it's cool. It's a cool thing. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's very cool marketing tactic, and I think a lot of people will jump on it for that reason.
Oh, what is it? Oh, do you have any pre-orders left? You do. Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's just Spider-Man with his dick out.
Yes, it is. That'd be fucking hilarious. He's got like 8 of them.
Yeah.
Because it's number 4, YouTube channel called Boomstick Gaming, speaking of Dead Cells, posted a video titled, quote, IGN copied my Dead Cells review, what do I do? In it, the video's maker plays a sequence of clips from his own review of the roguelike action platformer and compares it to IGN's video review, revealing a number of phrases that are strikingly familiar. The video went viral, skyrocketing the top of Reddit and other forums. Once something hits the top of Reddit, if it's a negative thing against someone, it's over for them.
Mm.
If it's on the front page of Reddit, you're fucked. If it's something bad. The similarities between the two reviews were too numerous to be coincidental, and many observers, got it right the fourth time, saw the incident as a massive outlet taking advantage of a smaller one. Before this, Boomstick Gaming had around 11,000 subscribers. On YouTube, IGN has over 10 million. Quote from Boomstick Gaming, to Philip Miuchin, the IGN reviewer. No hate, man, but I wish I was cited, collaborated with, or compensated in some way for the healthy views your site saw on your Dead Cells review. Now, pretty much straight away, a couple of hours, IGN took the review down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, or I think within 12 hours, they released a statement. So I didn't do the whole thing because it's quite long, but IGN announced that they are no longer working with Miuchin, writing in a statement that it plans to re-review Dead Cells. Quote from IGN, we apologize to our readers, developer Motion Twin, the developers of Dead Cells, and most especially the YouTuber known as Boomstick Gaming for failing to uphold these standards, they said, referring to journalistic integrity.
And a following update of that, the writer, Philip something, has since been sacked.
That's what I said.
Oh, sorry, I missed that part.
They are no longer working with Miuchin.
Ah, yeah, Miuchin. Yeah, so Miuchin. So yeah,
Philip Miuchin.
Yeah, so he got the sack. He's so, yeah.
In another twist, Jason Schreier put out a tweet the next day. Someone sent him a screenshot of before Philip worked at IGN of a FIFA review compared to another outlet. It's pretty much the same situation. Mm. So it's kind of once you do it once. Now, he was also appointed recently, I'm not sure how recent because I don't follow up, as the Nintendo...
Yeah, I'd say within the last 6 months, he was...
The main Nintendo guy?
Nintendo editor, yeah. He was, about the last 6 months, he was hired by, as you said, by IGN as their Nintendo editor. So, he originally was a YouTuber that then got picked up. He was a Nintendo-focused channel that got picked up.
Nintendo
so
Life,
those
I think?
No idea. Maybe? Those fucking YouTubers. Can't trust them!
except us.
But... He released a statement this morning.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, a video statement about his side of the story. It's very conflicting in terms of it's like, look, I take full responsibility. Got good because you did it. Like, there's no question that you did it. But then he makes some statements like how he's remorseful. But then he's like, well, it's just weird. It's very disingenuous. It doesn't quite feel... Yeah, so it's a weird line.
I think that was a bad move. I think he should have stayed quiet for quite a while.
Yeah, just take it, yeah. So what's your thoughts on
this? Plagiarism is bad. Mm. It is the number one worst thing you could do in this kind of industry. Any industry...
Any journalistic or any writing.
Journalism, plagiarism is the worst thing you do. And if you get caught out, your career is pretty much over in terms of being employed by someone. Now, he could go off and do his own YouTube thing again and build himself back up. But in terms of getting employed by the likes of, IGN or, whoever else, it's not going to happen.
No, he is borderline unemployable.
You've signed the end of your career as a journalist at that point, unless you go off and do your own thing. Now, while IGN's statement didn't exactly say we found him guilty of plagiarism, the fact they said we're no longer working with him, which means leads me to believe that they were like,
there's enough evidence.
Dude, there's enough here to be like, I can't continue to let you work here. But it's also, it's kind of funny, like, because it's got, everything has to go through the editor before it gets posted, which everyone's like, why didn't the editor pick up on this? You can't expect the editor to also watch 1,000 reviews from every channel, as small as they might be. Like, you can't really blame the editor in this case. I'd imagine they watch it and go, is it cohesive? Does it tell enough of the story? Like, is it a good review? And they go, yep. But they can't be expected to watch everyone else's coverage to make sure theirs doesn't match it. There's only so many ways you can describe a game, and a lot of statements are going to overlap and sound similar, but then there's the point where you have two reviews side by side and you're like, that's actually not okay.
Yeah, so when I first saw the video, Boomstick Gaming's video, my initial thought was, is this a dig at how games press has become this big fucking amalgamated mess? It's a big echo chamber.
But as it was more like up to the halfway point of the video, I was like, it's kind of, but as you got to the end of the video, you're like, oh, hang on a second.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, this is very similar. That's very, like, okay, cool, that's cool. All right.
It was a closing statement.
Yeah, and like,
which happened at the exact same timestamp in both the videos as well.
That's coincidence. Same timestamp, that's pure coincidence. Like, but
exactly.
The wording, though, is serious. Like, some of it is almost like high school where you would borrow your
copy your homework.
Where you'd borrow a handful of words to get it done.
Now, at the time of this, Boomstick Gaming had 11,000 subs.
So
when he first put the video up, he had 11K. He's got 53,000 now.
Jesus.
Now, whether that translates to views or something is a whole other thing.
Mm.
But he seems like a pretty genuine guy too. I watched a couple of his videos. I'm like, this guy seems alright. You know, he's just a guy doing it on his own, trying to get something. So I hope that does translate to more success for him, because he seems like he kind of deserves it and he's passionate enough for it.
Yeah, no, it's a shitty situation for him, but it's also a good situation for him.
It's also flipped around and
So what's your overall stance on it though? Like, what do you think of this as a whole?
I think all parties handled the situation professionally.
Mm.
Boomstick Gaming didn't go on some crazy swearing tirade. He put up a very polite video asking whether it was his own bias, thinking that the video has been plagiarized, or does everyone else think there's something here? And if so, what should he do? So he handled that, I think, as professionally as he could, because I'd imagine it's quite hard to actually just speak to IGN. And then IGN did the right thing. They pulled it down as soon as they were notified, took enough time to investigate, made the right decision in letting Philip go. And yeah, it sucks. But I think the whole situation was handled pretty professionally from everyone, except the guy who plagiarized. It's not professional at all.
Kind of opposite.
Kind of the exact opposite.
But yeah, no, I'm in the same boat as you. I think everyone sort of handled it the best they could. They did do a video statement. They had Brian Altano read the statement. You know, and he you can tell, like, he's like, this is fucked. Like, in the way he delivers it, it's like he genuinely gives a shit.
Yeah, and also, cool. Like, I shouldn't have to do this.
Yeah, and like, that's the...
Like a web... I've got a love-hate relationship with IGN. I'm like, I couldn't really care less what they do. But yeah, from Brian's standpoint, it's like, I shouldn't have to do this shit. We're the biggest video game journalist website in the world. This is something that shouldn't even have to be addressed.
Exactly. Sacking him, good decision. Great decision. Sucks for him. He's now literally unemployable. But you made that bed, you lie in it, dude. Like... I have no issue with someone going around, and especially if you're a low tier content creator, there's nothing wrong with looking what else is around there to help to when you're initially starting to help structure your opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, because you do, like, you need to know, you need to learn how to write, how to address, how to not phrase things, but how to talk in that structure, right? You know, when we first started, we used to do the same thing as well. We would constantly look around and compare ourselves.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. And see what else is...
But sometimes there's genuinely a point where it's like, I'm feeling something, but I don't quite know how to put it into words. I'll watch a few other reviews, see if they kind of touch on what I'm feeling and go, that's kind of what I'm feeling. I'm going to work with that.
Yeah, or you cite them.
You don't literally take their statement.
yeah.
and put it in your video.
Like you would 100% heard it from here when we've gone, oh, I was into another show, I was into this podcast and they said this, and that articulates my point. Mm. Like I couldn't get the right words and these guys did it for me. His disingenuousy statement is going to be controversial.
I haven't watched that yet.
I
feel like he should have just faded to the shadows
and then come
while.
Back a little bit later, you know what I mean? Like wait till it kind
I've
of dies down.
I've had some
down.
Time to reflect yeah. and I'm a new man. See, please support me on Patreon.
I'm in the same boat as you with IGN though. Like I do have a love-hate relationship with them in terms of I think they're fine. I like some of their creators.
You like some of their personalities.
I like their personalities. I don't read a lot of their reviews and whatnot. I used to watch obviously Colin and Greg when they were on there, and then they bounced. I still listen to Beyond when it's like Brian Altano and Marty Sliva and Alana Pierce and Max Scoville. Marty has left IGN. Alana has left
apparently
IGN.
Controversy with Marty.
Yeah,
well.
I'm not too sure on that one, but interesting. But that pretty much just leaves Max and Brian for me. You know, so it's, I understand there's waves of content, you know, as in like something that's been going 20 years that they're going to drop, people are going to drop in and out, but I'm finding less and less reason to go there. And this is kind of like, I'm not targeting them all with the same brush, but it's kind of,
yeah.
But like the internet right
there's
now.
There's so many other ways to get your gaming news.
Like now. For the players, Pop Culture Players and Podcast.
Where we go to those sites for you.
And the other thing is, the only thing I don't like about this situation in terms of the correct parties, handled it really professionally. The fucking internet handled it like garbage. You so they go to every other video, every like, who the fuck has time? Like
Twitter.
Who is that sad that they have to, they have nothing but, who invests that much emotion in something?
I've gotten into a few like internet history channels recently.
Yeah.
Where they'll like look at big things that have happened on the internet, break it down in a history style video. Very, very good. I'll link some to you actually. Down the rabbit hole. It's a very, very good one.
I love YouTube holes.
I would love, no, that's what the series is called. But I would love someone to do like a look at the collective internet personality. Because when you say, oh, it's the internet, everyone knows what you're talking about. Like just enraged, angry, possessive cesspool. And I'd love to see a video of like how that came to be and how it is now and what it means about the human psyche and all that kind of stuff. That's just a random tangent. Anyway, let's move on from the negative stuff. Top selling games for week ending the 5th of August 2018, starting at number 10, Lego The Incredibles, number 9, Crash the Insane Trilogy, number 8, Far Cry 5, number 7, Sonic Mania, number 6, GTA 5, number 5, Detroit Become Human, number 4, PlayStation Hits Ratchet and Clank. Number 3, PlayStation Hits Uncharted 4. Number 2, PlayStation Hits The Last of Us. And number 1, soon to be a PlayStation Hit, God of War.
I mean, the PlayStation Hits are doing
good stuff.
They're doing great.
The same 3 out of the, 15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're doing the thing.
They're doing exactly what they wanted to do with it. And yeah. That's a great idea.
And no surprise, God of War is still up there. Detroit's kind of doing this. Because I think it was like number 10 recently. And then it's kind of all over the place. Not for long, though. Once we hit September, Detroit's out of that list.
That's gone.
I guarantee. Now, just for some quick news. Kind of stop the news going from so long.
Even though this has been really long.
Yeah, but I've like summarized a lot of articles into just a sentence.
Yeah, we came to sort of realize that when we would vet the news for the week, we would just pick the things that sort of interest us. And then we're like, well, there's a lot of news here that we're missing. Although we may not have a strong opinion on it. It might be something.
It's worth a mention.
It's worth
but not
a mention,
worth reading
maybe
the entire
comment.
Article.
Yeah.
So do you want me to read them all and then go back to them, or do you want me to
just
stop after each one?
We'll tear through them and see how we go.
Got 5 quickies. Negan from The Walking Dead will join Tekken 7 as a playable character. Ninja has reached 10 million followers on Twitch, setting a new world record. To celebrate 500 million PlayStation sold, Sony is releasing a limited 2 terabyte translucent dark blue PS4 Pro console with only 50,000 to be made. Comes with a matching controller stand, headset, and a PlayStation camera that is not blue. Bethesda announced that the camera is not blue.
Sure.
That's what the article stated. Bethesda announced that the beta progress from Fallout 76 will carry over to release. Interestingly, it will not launch on Steam, instead sticking to Bethesda's own platform. And Sony and Rockstar have confirmed that Red Dead Redemption 2 will run at 4K on a PS4 Pro. Anything there you want to clearly touch on?
Negan, that's weird.
It's weird, but it's pretty... Like, to have Jeffrey Dean Morgan in a video game as a playable character, yeah, that's cool. Because I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Yeah. Like, everything he does, except Thomas Wayne, where he just didn't fucking do anything in Batman v Superman. It's cool. I think... He doesn't. I don't think. I think he would have been more in place
in like Soul Calibur with
Soul
the weapon.
Soul Calibur, because he got like,
you got no. You have no weapons in Tekken. That's what, except unless you're Yoshimitsu who has a sword. But like other than that, it is a relatively weapon free. It's a weird choice. That 500 million PlayStation.
It's pretty cool.
It is very pretty.
And each, I don't know if you noticed this, but each console will have
a limited
number like on the plate. So you imagine the console that's. 42,069. How much that will sell for? Like 420.69. Just because internet culture. it looks pretty. It's a pretty nice.
It's pretty cool.
Reminds me of the old N64, the translucent purple one.
Allegedly, EB Games Australia has already pre-sold out.
Fair enough.
But I think I might pick up the controller.
I wasn't going to get one anyway, but it looks nice. Progress from Fallout 76 is cool,
and it's the full game.
I don't know how I like them. Not I don't. I'm not going to play it on PC, so I couldn't really give a shit. But I'm so... When I go on my PC, there's so many fucking launches. You got the Fortnite one, like the Epic Games launcher. You got GOG Games, like Gwent and stuff. You got Steam. You've got the Blizzard launcher. You got the Bethesda launcher. I'm pretty sure EA have their own one.
Yeah, yep.
Fuck. That's probably one of the main reasons I don't play on PC.
Yeah.
Really. Because it's just... How many different... programs do you need just to play your game?
But I understand, but I do also think it's a sign of Steam. Like, Steam is shit.
But the thing is, too, is like Skyrim is on Steam and it's constantly in the top 10 selling games since for like the last 7 years.
It's because for the last 10 years, Steam has been the number one place to go. So like that's the reason everyone goes to Steam because it's the place to do. Like everyone thinks of Steam for the online marketplace PC. Although I dislike 1,000 different launches.
Apparently Discord is looking at doing a games thing.
That would be rad.
Now, this is just a PC thing. It is amazing to me that Steam at no point ever put in Discord's functionality into their thing. Because Steam's like, we need a good chat service, and Discord is like, maybe we should have a good game service. But Discord, it's kind of weird how Discord has just become... just this thing that everyone has.
I remember it used to be TeamSpeak?
TeamSpeak and Ventrilo back in the day. But even like non-gaming communities are using Discord now for, you know, work stuff. Like how we used to use Slack and stuff like that. We've moved to Discord. A lot of companies are doing the same thing. And as for Red Dead running at 4K, it won't be 60 frames though.
Well, it ain't going to matter because it's not going to be on PC anyway. So they're like, well, 4K 60 on PC. Like, nah.
Oh,
shit, then come PC. But yeah, like so having it run at 4K on both PS4 Pro and presumably the Xbox One X, schmick.
You know, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because Xbox One X is this all-powerful being.
My only concern is, like, how's it going to run on Xbox One? Because it barely does 1080p. I think most games run at, like, 900 or whatever from back in the day. But no, I'm keen as horse balls.
And just to top it off, not PlayStation related, but I do like indie success stories. So two things. Cuphead has gone triple platinum, selling over 3 million copies. Now, these guys that made Cuphead, I don't know if you know this, they when they were developing it, they got in a real tight spot. They remortgaged their houses to make this game. And it's really cool to see them. Like, 3 million copies, they can retire. Literally, they can just go, cool, we're done, which they won't. They seem like very passionate game people.
And then we know there's DLC coming later in the year.
Yeah, and Shovel Knight will appear in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. My boy!
Not a playable character.
The fact that he's even in the fucking game with Nintendo's biggest characters of all time, just to have your face in there from Yacht Club, this little indie company, like that is... It's a dream for developers, man. That is the coolest thing. The more and more I see about Smash Brothers Ultimate, the more and more excited I am. Like having King K. Rool in there as well from that cool little trailer.
Oh, shit. I go hands-on this week with it.
Oh, you do on Thursday, don't
Thursday? You? Fuck, almost forgot. Yeah. If you're interested, keep an eye out. There'll be some videos later in the week.
But yeah, I like when indie games, you know, the whole started from the bottom and now we're here story.
The Drake story.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't like him. That's it for the news, Ryan. As we move to the segment where we chat to the players about our experiences with Black Ops 4 multiplayer beta.
So big thank you to Activision Australia providing us both codes to jump into the private beta, which is now taking place as of last week. I do believe the open beta may be this weekend that we're recording on, if not next weekend.
No, I'm pretty sure it is this weekend. So let's talk about it.
Take the floor.
So, okay, so they've brought over from Black Ops 3, they've brought over some of the classes you could have, like Ruin and Battery and
with Ajax.
Ajax and all that. They also put in a few new ones. So instead of normally in a COD game, you've got, you know, your guns and you've got your your tactical equipment and your grenade and, in Black Ops' case, your ultimate ability. Instead, they've done away with everyone having grenades in this one. And instead, you get a healing ability, which is the same for all classes.
Is that one thing we should mention is there now is an active health bar.
You have a health bar now of 150 health. You can get armor on top of that from certain classes, can give armor to their team. So everyone has L1 to heal themselves back up.
A stim pack.
Quick little stim pack. And then R1 is one of their abilities, and then L1 and R1 is their ultimate ability. Now, I don't see the point of the health bar, really, because in previous COD games, you get shot a couple times, you'd hide around the corner for 5 seconds, you're good to go again. With the health bar, it's the same thing. You get shot a couple times, go around the corner, hit your stim, and in about the same time frame, you're good to go again. I don't really see the purpose of the inclusion of health bars. Do you?
I agree, but I think it's more a visual representation of your of your enemy.
I like it visually, like when you're shooting someone, you can actually see, are they closer, are they not? I like that. But in terms of like how it works for yourself and keeping yourself alive, it doesn't feel any different, because I figured all the class would have a different healing ability that might do something a little bit different, but it's all the same. So that's not really exciting.
Yeah, as I said, like I think it's more about when you're versing off with someone. It's not about your, because as you said perfectly, with the old idea, it's the same. It's almost the same amount of time as hiding behind a rock. I think it's more of a visual representation of everybody else around you, so you can see how your teammates are going. You can see how the enemy's like. Are you chipping away?
Is it worth a push forward, because they're all kind of low?
Yeah. And it also removes a little bit of the you know when you play in the day, the hit markers and whatnot, like I swear I hit them. But now you can now your visual representation saying no, you didn't.
Well, you do get that audio feedback with like,
yeah, but even then, like you hear that and then you watch the kill cam and they get hit twice. I'm like,
so anyway, let's talk about the game as a whole.
Yes.
Well, we got four or five maps. There was five, but I reckon I only saw three in my rotation.
Yeah, I only ever saw about three maps that I could actively remember. There were five modes, I believe, four modes.
Four. There was Chaos TDM.
Yep.
Which is 6v6 TDM.
Team Deathmatch with a little bit of kill confirmed in there.
There was
Random
Control, which is one team has to defend 2 points and the other team has to attack them, and you have limited 30 lives per team.
Yeah, so similar to what was being done in Battlefield.
And it's the best of five for that, for, you know, first team to three objective completes. That mode also mixed in Domination, classic Domination. Mm-hmm. There was Search and Destroy, which I didn't play.
Classic mode. It's an old mode anyway.
I don't like Search and Destroy. And there was one more, Mosh Pit, which I think you play as long as you want, and it just throws you between all the different modes as the game demands.
And as of time of recording, I do believe there is a new mode that dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bank heist sort of one. The whole idea is extracting money, so it's like, I think it's just pushing an objective with a fucking duffel bag.
Like a payload, yeah. So they had that in World War II, kind of like push the tanks to here and then refuel the tanks and push further. But in terms of feel and how it looks, it's schmick, as you'd expect from a COD game. Looks great, feels great to play. Very, very fluid movement. The gunplay feels very good, as you'd come to expect from COD. Like you'd expect nothing less at this point than almost perfection in terms of looks and general gameplay, which is there. It does feel good to play. Whether you enjoy playing it or not is something else entirely, but it feels right, and it feels like it should. Do you agree on that?
Yeah, it plays what I've come to expect from Call of Duty. Like, you know controls are always going to be the same. No, it's going to be Schmidt. You know, it's going to be tight. You know, you're going to get fucked by someone across the map. Like, there are.
I hate the quick scoping and stuff.
Yeah, there are Call of Duty staples that are still here, that are still present, which I kind of think maybe to its detriment as well. Like, it feels like the same game again. Mm. Now, I understand that, like, you know, the game needs its same core. Like, what makes Call of Duty makes Call of Duty. And I do also like they've stripped it back. There's no roof jumping or that sort of garbage. You still have the slides. You can kind of, like, fuck your way in a wall. But it's not that verticality that the previous Black Ops and Advanced Warfare and Infinite Warfare had. So I like that. But without that stuff, it feels like Call of Duty, which is good. But it's still Call of Duty.
Yeah, I found...
As I ramble my way through
that sentence. The maps that we played on, I found to be very claustrophobic. Yeah. All very corridory and not linear, of course, but just very confined.
Yeah, so what the developers have done is they've intentionally re-altered the maps to be like what they used to be, which is the three-tunnel approach. Hmm. So rather than the big open spaces like we're used to seeing, it's
left,
literally
middle, and right.
Left, middle, and right. So in what we're used to seeing in MOBAs now.
Yeah.
Like in the same
the
idea.
Lanes.
Yeah, the lanes, yes, that's what I was looking for, thank you. Yeah, so they've restructured the maps to fit that accordingly.
Hmm. And I don't really like that.
No, really.
It feels too close quarters. Whereas I thought World War II had a very good range of kind of open, like the ship, where you could like snipe all the, even though that was your three lane thing again, it was quite open,
mm-hmm.
unless you went inside, you know, the cargo hold area. Black Ops 3 had, I think Black Ops 3 had some of the best maps we've had in COD, period. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like none of these maps stood out. Like, you know how the game loads up and you vote on the map and then you're like, fuck, I like that map. Didn't quite. I put in probably 8 or 9 hours over the few days that was available. I think you put in about the same.
About the same, yeah.
But yeah, none of the maps really kind of struck me. Of course, it wasn't all the maps that were available. Maybe that'll change now with the open beta or not. As tropey as this is, it feels like COD. I found the time to kill to be, I felt like it was too low. Like, can't even react. Like, dead. I think COD would have benefited with all these new, like, all the classes' abilities, which some of them are pretty cool. I felt like they would have benefited from increasing the time to kill. So you have time to react and counter with your abilities and have a really good one-on-one where you just, I'm not very good at it, but I just don't feel like you get that. Mm. Like, if someone sees you from the side or behind, you're dead. And there's nothing to be done about it. Whereas I feel like if you got shot a couple of times, you're like, oh, shit, you could slide around the door frame, you know, place a trap, heal up, get out there and have, like, a good cat and mouse kind of one. I think that would have been really cool, but I just don't feel it in it. They have said that they've wanted to change it to be more team-orientated.
Which I do certainly get that vibe.
I get the vibe, but it's just not going to happen. It's not what COD is. It's not what COD has been about. And the people that buy COD year over year, which as much as I say I won't do it, I end up doing it anyway. That's not what they've come to expect from COD. And I think changing that mindset on a big scale is not going to happen. Mm. Mind you, the couple games I had where we did play as a team were pretty fun. When you fucking demolish the other team, but I also took a picture where I got demolished. I showed it to you. I'm like, is this game fun yet? Now, based off what I've played on the beta, I'm not really keen on picking it up. However, the beta keys we got will allow us to play, what was it called? The Battle Royale mode?
Blackout.
In next month. Now, that mode is going to be the thing that makes me go, fuck yes or meh.
Mm.
Because if we can get a Battle Royale like how it's presented in the multiplayer beta, it's pretty fucking cool, in my opinion. But as for the multiplayer itself, it's, as much as they tweak and change things and do all these little things, it's still just COD to me.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you there. It does fit that sort of annualization problem, which is you can't drastically overhaul everything in the time.
But they kind of can because I think they could because they rotate between the three studios. So each studio technically has 3 years of
correct.
Development.
They do have 3 years of development, but because the response happens on that particular game, they're already 2 years in development. True. They can't drastically change anything. True. Like if it was you have a game, you've got 2 years, then you make another one. Like if there was a gap between, there's enough time to implement the changes and
request. To the
they
market.
Can't react. They can only go by what they think's going to happen, which is why this blackout mode is so fascinating. Mm. Because this is a response to something within the last year. Mm. But
I think they were probably halfway through doing a campaign and went, actually, can we put those resources into this current trend?
Spinning off that, with this game, with Black Ops 4 not having a campaign, it's very likely that I will not pick this up unless Blackout turns out to be rad. Mostly because if this is what the if this is what the big hunk of the game is now, if it's just multiplayer, and is this, it's fine. But it is also more of the same, and I don't. We're in a time now. I live in a world where more of the same isn't what I'm looking for.
Yeah, but to be honest, I couldn't care less about the campaign. I haven't played a COD campaign since Black Ops 1.
No, but I mean, like that's our way to entice someone that doesn't play.
Yeah, yeah, I
like,
understand
the
that
Call
too.
Of Duty World War 2 campaign. Schmick.
Look at the ad here.
Yeah.
Got a Black Ops 4 ad.
You know what I mean? Like, even when you boot the game up, you have the same generic soldier with a fucking mohawk. Like, there is so much about this. This is the same. It doesn't feel
like it's drastically changed. Yeah, no, I understand that. Basically,
I do think Call of Duty needs that big change. Mm. And I hope that Blackout is something like that. Because so on a systems level, on a mechanical level, it has to be entirely different. There has to be vehicles. There has to be all these things that weren't there before.
They have it all there. You've got the guns. You've got the weapon attachments. Everything is there to do a really good mode. And as much as people shat on them copying a trend, this could be like the next big thing.
This could be the trendsetter. This could be do what Fortnite did, which is take what was popular, tweak it, make it better. Mm-hmm. And I do think Call of Duty can come in there and do that. But my final judgment on Black Ops 4 will come in that time. Because right now, I'm lackluster at best. Yeah. Like, granted, I enjoyed my time with it, but long term, nah.
So when September hits and they do open up the Blackout beta, we'll of course play it together.
Hell yeah.
Probably do some duos.
We'll stream that shit.
Give it a real good go, and then we'll return to Black Ops 4 at that point. But until then, if you like COD and you play it a lot, you're going to like this as well. But if you're looking for something new and interesting, it doesn't really quite change it up enough.
But yeah, let us know what you think in the comments below, and you know, I'll jump in there and have a chat with you, and we can talk about our thoughts of the game. I can explain myself a bit more, or you can jump in with some responses. It's all fun and games in there. But before we jump into the drop, do have some questions in a section that we call From the Players, where the beautiful followers and community members of the Pop Culturists throw us their two cents on some things, and they ask us questions.
Cool.
So these two sort of go together. Jacob Garner comes in and says, do you think that there are too many limited edition, special edition PS4s being released, and are they actually selling? And with Buddy bouncing off that going, are they making more special editions at the end of the life cycle to boost numbers because sales are dropping, people knowing people will repeat buy? Buddy's nailed it on the fucking head.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
The limited edition bundles just depend, to me anyway, they depend on what game is coming out that warrants us doing something like this. Spider-Man is one of them. Did they do a God of War one?
Yes.
God of War is one of them. I guarantee you there will be a Last of Us 2 PlayStation bundle. I guarantee you there will be a Death Stranding PlayStation bundle. I don't guarantee you there will be a Ghost of Tsushima one. It seems kind of niche-y to me. But it is also, we are at the end of the life cycle. And they have said, as the news reported last week, they're expecting a 3.3 million sold drop year over year going forward. So they're kind of looking at it from all angles and going, sales are dropping, but that game is coming out. That game does deserve a console. We can give it its console and it'll boost our sales at the same time. I don't think there's too many. I mean, if they weren't selling, like Jacob said, I don't think they'd be doing them as much.
Yeah, I think it comes down to many different tastes.
For the people that collect them, it fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's some guys that I follow on, like, Instagram and stuff, and they're like, this is fucked. Because,
yeah.
Like, they just put down their pre-order for the Spider-Man one. Next thing, hey, he's his $500 million unit, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I think it opens up to taste. Like, I don't think they're making a million of each console. Like, there are finite numbers. Yeah. So it's more of, like, whatever the taste of the week is.
Yeah. Which, and I don't imagine it would take them that much to do it
either. No.
Change the paint skin.
See, that's the big thing. A lot of what they're doing, they're not modding the console per se. They're adding a sticker to the top of it. They're adding a painted decal.
Or they're just printing out the casing, but they're printing it with this color
scheme. Yeah, or they're changing the color on or something. Like, nothing is that drastic. There's not going to be an overall cost increase by doing it. But with the PS5, I've theoretically being year and a half, 2 years away, this is a good way to get people interested. And if you notice, the last X amount of special editions have all been PS4 Pros because they really want to push home that this is the place to play. Like, this is, you want that 4K, you need that 4K. Your original PS4 probably not doing so well now. Might be worthwhile picking one up. Get to play all the games you loved and some new games coming in the future. It's smart. It makes sense. Although I love, like, my technology and gaming custom. Modded custom PS4 Pro. I was very tempted to pick up that $500 million one.
Yeah, they don't do anything for me. Yeah. Other than me looking and going, that'd be cool to have. I have a perfectly functional PlayStation 4, and I'm not in the position just to drop another $500 just because that one looks a little bit cooler. True.
But I think that's a good way to get across the line. People are like, I don't think I need a PS4 Pro. Mm. But then you see one that has an aesthetic you like, you're like, that might be that deciding vote. That might be the one that gets you over that line.
Possibly.
Which to them is all about getting more console sales,
but
right?
But then to me, like, my original PlayStation lasted 4.5 years.
Yeah.
Faked me out on dying, and now it's okay again because Alex has it. And now I bought a new one late last year. I'm not going to buy another one this close to PS5. Even though we don't know when it's coming out, it is close enough for me to go, I don't need to buy a custom one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a cool... Maybe if there's a launch PS5 with a limited thing, maybe I'll get that at the start of a generation.
Yeah, so like... I have, so you know, I've had my PS4 Pro like a year and a half-ish now, a bit longer. Like, I've had it for a very long... Nearly 2 years. Like, I've had it a long time. Mm. I had it roughly since launch.
Mm.
So I have no desire to pick up a new PS4 Pro. Mine does exactly what it's supposed to, and mine's fucking cool right now. Like, for me, the next thing I'm going to buy is a PS5. But we aren't those people.
It's not clever marketing from Sony. It's just them going, all this can work to our benefit. There's no real detriment to it.
And then the last question, James Waters jumps in and says, I'm just curious as to the Popsy's thoughts on Rockstar's seeming new approach to marketing. GTA 5 saw a trailer and then a gameplay trailer and then they announced GTA Online. Red Dead Redemption 2 seems to have a teaser trailer, a regular trailer, a gameplay trailer part 1, and what looks to be at least one more focusing solely on single player and then potentially another one for online. And go.
I haven't watched any of it.
Mm.
So this is a you question.
Well, it's more of the structure of the marketing. So what I really like about this particular, the gameplay trailer that dropped, it's not just, here's some guy playing the game. Like, the previous two trailers, the teaser was a tone piece that explained where everything's happening. This next one is, so then there was the second one, which is the story trailer that gave you a bit more rundown of the character and what you're expected to be doing. And now they're focusing on the gameplay itself. It mirrors the same approach they did with Red Dead on PS3, but they did that as more of a response to, we need to showcase why you need to care about a Western game. Because Western games are
few and far between.
Few and far between. Not everyone likes the Western game. So they did it as like, hey, in Red Dead Redemption, you're going to do the following. Here is this system. This is the Deadeye function. Blah, 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 blah. And they've mirrored that here, and they mirrored that with GTA 5 as well. I think the reason we're seeing so many variants, so many different trailers, is, remember, this game was supposed to come out last year.
Mm.
So it's been 2 years since it was announced. So I think if they were going to launch last year like they originally had planned, we would be seeing less trailers because they would have skipped probably the trailer in the middle there and just lumped it all together.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly because of announcement to release date. It's fine. I was really baffled to see that this was just gameplay one, which is sort of focusing on the single player, like how that plays and how it looks. Mm. And the next one's more about the side stuff and probably and potentially what Red Dead 2 Online is going to have, which I'm super keen for.
Yeah, maybe. Since my new approach of like not watching everything about something I'm interested in coming out, I don't really notice it too much. Because essentially what I do now, and I've said it before, is a game is announced and they're like, here's a trailer. And I go look at it and go, I want it. And then I don't watch anything else.
Yeah.
So even if I was hyped about Red Dead 2, which I'm not.
Did you? I haven't played Red Dead 1, have you?
No. I would have stopped looking at anything a year and a half ago. Like at that point, I would have kind of said, I already know I want it. I already know it's going to tick the boxes for me. I don't need to see anything else. So I don't really take notice of how many trailers games get these days. Yeah. You know, a lot of people say, you know, trailers are giving away too much, they're too long, there's too many. But I just don't consume it in that way anymore. And I've found myself happier because of it.
But the big difference with Rockstar is Rockstar understand this. They're not the ones that are going to be like, here's four trailers showing the entire game story. Like, these guys are smart. They play their cards close to their chest. Like, they give you what they want you to see.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, and that's the big difference with them. So, I guarantee there's a lot of Red Dead that's not in those trailers, and we won't see them until we play it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's what I really dig. Mm-hmm. And what I love about, especially what they did two nights ago or whatever, a couple of nights ago, was here are the changes to what we've already done. So, you know, rather than
showing you what you already know.
Showing what you already know. It's like, this is a reason you should be keen for it. But it's not like, it's not telling you everything. It's not like a Game Informer 2-hour fucking gameplay video. This, it's 6 minutes. It's short. It's sharp. They're telling you the information. It's short and it's precise. It's like, we've changed Deadeye. We've changed fighting. We've changed this. The environment, you know, the environment now responds with this. You know, previously with Red Dead, you had two biomes. You had like Texas and you had Mexico. We've now got swamps and mountains and blah and blah and blah. And it's just giving you a very short list. It's what it literally could have been a fucking blog list, but having them show it off. A rebuilds hype closer to release because you know they've been quiet since that trailer of like fucking last year sometime.
Random question for you, something I was thinking about on the way here. Do you think Sony's first party games are focusing a little too much on open worlds?
I think the entire industry as a whole is focusing too much on open worlds.
Horizon, Spider-Man. All but confirmed Ghost of Tsushima will be an open-worldy kind of game. I'm pretty sure Death Stranding will be something kind of similar to that. As Metal Gear 5 was, I'm sure...
It has to...
Last of Us was linear, but also open, as in you had multiple ways. So
in the same way that Lost Legacy
had. I'll take Naughty Dog out of that conversation, but it seems like all their big first-party games of the last year and going into the next year and a half are all open world.
See, that's exactly the point there, what you said with the open world. So for many, many years, open worlds have been the big trope in games. Like everyone's like, our world is open, it's bigger, it's blah, 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 blah. There was a period of time where worlds were open unnecessarily. See, that's where the open world is fantastic. It gives you the feel of a big open world, but they're little sections.
Yeah, but Horizon and God of War aren't quite like that either. They are legitimately Horizon's open world.
Different. God of War is different again. I don't say it's fully open world because everything is sectioned off. They are small
levels.
They're small levels.
In Mario 64, you jump through a painting. You got your big hub,
yep.
And then you go to a certain...
Exactly.
I get what you're saying with that. And I was just thinking about on the way here, I'm like, what's Sony got recently? And I'm like, they're all open.
They're all third-party open adventures.
Going to be open with Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding. Well, I'm like, are we going to get maybe like open burnout? Maybe.
I don't think so.
Different enough. I don't know. It's just something that crossed my mind on the way here. Yeah. I don't have a stance on it really either way. Yeah, it's just something across something I noticed on the way here, thinking about Sony's first party as a whole.
I think there's a less...
This probably could have made a topic,
yeah,
to be honest.
I think there's less likely that there'll be a open burnout, mostly because it does give you that illusion of linearity mixed with this open world.
And
they
tell a great story.
Yeah, and that tells a great story. Like, example is Far Cry 5. That world is just open.
Too
like,
big.
You walk out and it's fucking whatever you want. Mm. Where that's the danger of open world, where... The structure of God of War, as an example, yes, you can backtrack. You could do whatever you want. There's a lot of Metroidvania-y things, oddly, with God of War.
But you can't go here until you beat that part to get the ability.
Yeah.
To
so a true open world, like you said, you can do whatever you want. You can go over there, you can do that. You know, it doesn't matter. Where this is a focused open world. And I think that is the key differentiator.
I get your point. We probably could have extended that to a whole topic.
Probably
could. But it was just something that crossed my mind on the way here. I thought all these games are quite open, and they're going to be. Is that good or bad? Put it to the community. What do you think?
Hi. But those games, Red Dead Redemption, well, the new God of War, you know, Tomb Raider's still about a month or so away. It's ages.
Mm.
What games are coming out this week, Josh? In a section we call Coming to the Players, which is straight up just us reading the drop. Mm-hmm.
Death's Gambit, PS4 Digital.
Give a bit of a description on that one.
Death's Gambit is a hardcore 2D... Actually, they have a bigger blurb for it. You know how they put the big picture game at the top? They actually do a bigger blurb for them.
Ooh!
Now. Justin Massengill, again, social media manager. As a faithful agent of death, you are bound to his service and must fight your way through an alien planet filled with beasts, knights, and immortal bosses. Developed by White Rabbit, Death's Gambit takes 2D combat to new levels, favoring strategic gameplay and character development over button mashing. Explore 7 different playable classes, challenge towering monsters, and discover the true price of immortality. Sounds cool.
Sounds cool.
2D Dark Souls. But not really.
Yeah, speaking of, like, Sanctuary came out on Switch this week.
Did it?
Yeah.
Good game.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you want a code? I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, I got it on the Vita.
Yeah.
Actually, that was cross-buy with PlayStation. Very, very good game. 2D, hard fucking game.
Yeah.
Essentially. But it looks, like, we're in that age of where, like, pixel art can look like fucking trash, or it can be something of, like, majesty. And that's what this is.
I'm not down with super hard games, though. So yeah. It might look stunning, but...
It's a step up on, like, Dead Cells in terms of pixel fidelity. Like, this game just looks absolutely amazing.
I have to jump into it.
I'll check the price when it does drop. Drop.
Yeah.
Detective Gallo, PS4 Digital. Doggone Golfing, PS4 Digital. Domino Craft VR, PSVR
Digital.
That's Domino,
Wang.
It is. What did I say?
Domino.
That could be it. Gunscore and Cannoli 2, PS4 Digital. Hero Defense, PS4 Digital. Persian Knights, Sands of Wonder, PS4 Digital. Phantom Doctrine, PS4 Digital. State of Mind, PS4 Digital. Super Knight Riders, PS4 Digital. Terratech, PS4 Digital. Treadnoughts, PS4 Digital. Vroom Kaboom, PS4 Digital. Wailing Heights, PS4 Digital. The Walking Dead, the final season, PS4 Digital. Man, every week that PSN store just gets more and more clogged up with shit. That's bad. Like, eventually, that's gonna be just finding a game.
And this could be why Bethesda want nothing to do with Steam.
Why can't we literally, when we're searching on the PlayStation store, bring up that fucking keypad that we use to search everything else?
No, you use those dumb columns.
Fuck. Death's Gambit is the one to keep an eye out for.
And Walking Dead, if you're a big fan.
And Walking Dead, if you're still a fan. I played season 1 and 2, but I haven't played since then.
Yeah. Nothing really jumps out at me, so I'll be playing Dead Cells and probably going back to
Tomb Raider. I'll still be playing Dead Cells, for sure. For sure.
But
that PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you'd like to join in future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. We're feeling generous. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculture. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
And if you're one of those awesome people that do support us on Patreon, you could have watched this live with us. You have a little chat going on there. You could have all talked amongst yourselves. You know, you get yourself a nice little special link just by being a beautiful Patreon. And of course, if you want to show the love of Popculturist on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts like this and...
Oh, fuck.
No
Ooh.
One.
Ooh.
And there is a sale going on right now, so go pick up some brand new shirts, some jumpers, all in bigger sizes for those bigger folks out there. And I think, what else Twitch was there? Oh, Twitch. And we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/popculture. So you can come like and subscribe and do all the Twitch things over there. As I said, like this week, we were playing Overcooked over there. Trying to do a bit more Twitch things. Twitch is fun to stream on. But anyways, until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.
And that was an unnecessary delay.
It's called a pregnant pause.
Oh.
What a weird way to tell everyone I'm pregnant.